Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, this is Lean Keys, Real Talk, back with another episode. It's going to be a great one. I'm looking forward to it. I'm here with my boy Lee. What's good, bro? How you doing tonight?
Yo, man, what's going on? I'm doing good, man. I can't complain.
All right, all right. We're gonna get right into it tonight. I'm going to kick it right off because, you know, there's a lot of moving parts to this here that we're going to get into. There's been a lot that's happened. Obviously, UFC 270, you know, this past weekend. So we had that. FYI, Lee did see the fights, I believe. I did not see the fights. So, and ESPN doesn't put them up right away. So once they drop them on ESPN Plus, I might watch, you know, a couple of those back at least, you know, Nurmagomedov fight, Ngannou. Let me check out what was going on with that. They said Ngannou turned into a wrestler. So I watched those back. But, yeah, FYI, I haven't seen the fight. So we'll work with what we got.
Cool. Let's jump
but
into it.
Either way, yeah, so let's get right into it. So what I want to get to is this. So regardless of if I've seen the fight or not, I saw the article. I've been keeping up with the updates. You know, one thing y'all know that I do is I keep up with the news. Even if I don't see the fights, I know what the news is. So Ngannou, Francis Ngannou obviously defended his heavyweight title at UFC 270. I believe he won by unanimous decision. They said he turned into a wrestler for round 3, 4, and 5, I believe it was. And basically now he's going to go into surgery. That's what Bokumoto said. He's going to go into surgery. I think he injured his ACL and his MCL. I mean, I'm no surgeon. I'm no doctor. I don't really know what the difference is, but what the logistics of that is. But either way, he's going to go into surgery for his ACL and MCL, I believe today or this week at some point. He's going into surgery. And according to Brett Okamoto, the timeline for his return is about 9 months. So I'm going to put it to you like this, right? So you already know what we got to talk about, right? But the heavyweight division is basically, you know, there's, you know, you have a top 15 in every division, but we know the heavyweights is kind of light. But there's really not that many good guys up there. There's really not that many consistent guys. So basically you really only have, you know, my heavyweight goat, Stipe Miocic. You got him still there. You have Francis Ngannou, who's obviously the champion. You know, those two guys are 1-1. You have Derek Lewis. You have John Jones, who hasn't fought there yet, but I feel like he's still at the top, you know, because he's going to be fighting one of these guys soon. You have John Jones. And then I would also say you have Tai Tuivasa, because Tai Tuivasa, you know, even when he lost a couple fights, for the most part, he's won most of his fights in the heavyweight division, and he's on a win streak right now. And he's about to fight Derek Lewis. So you pretty much have what was that? Stipe, Ngannou, Lewis, John Jones, and Tai Tuivasa. So the heavyweight division, would you agree, is basically those five guys?
Cyril Gane.
Oh yeah, Cyril Gane, right? But he just lost. That's why he wasn't really on my list. But yeah, Cyril Gane is there, of course. But you have those six guys. Exactly. You have those six guys. Cyril Gane obviously just lost fighting for the title, so we know he's not right. He's definitely not, at least not to me, he's not right there to fight for the title next, especially where Ngannou's going to – Brett Okamoto says the timeline for him is for him to be out for 9 months with that surgery he's going to have. So the thing that's kind of unfortunate to me, this is what I thought of, is, okay, so basically Ngannou had to do a whole bunch of fights to get back to the title, right? He fought for the title for the second time finally. And then, you know, he beat Stipe in the rematch. I think it was last April or last March. He beat Stipe in the rematch, wins the belt. Then they wanted him to fight. They basically wanted him to go, like, right into another fight camp and rematch. I want to say they wanted him to rematch Derek Lewis, like, right away. And and I want to say his camp said no, that was, the timeline wasn't right. So then the UFC makes the interim heavyweight title fight. They put Derek Lewis and Cyril Gane there. Cyril Gane's undefeated. He beats Derek Lewis. Okay, now he's the interim champion. From that point, Cyril Gane still had to wait like 5 months from that point. He was interim champion for like 5 months. So we had to wait still to get the unification fight. So 5 months later, Gane, okay, they do the unification fight. He loses to Ngannou, you know, this past weekend. Now Ngannou is going to be out basically the rest of the year. You know, maybe he comes back at the end of the year, but I really don't even see that happening because the way it's going with his contract and, you know, he's asking for more money and he wants to be able to box in between his UFC fights and all this, which, I mean, honestly, that's never been a thing in the UFC. No guy has really ever done that. So I don't know how that's going to play out. I mean, I don't know if I really even see him fighting in the UFC again. So, you know, if he's asking for plus him having surgery, I don't see him fighting again this year. Even with the 9 months, I don't think they're going to be able to come to terms with the contract and the pay. And I don't know if I see him fighting in the UFC again. So that's pretty much the heavyweight picture right there. That's pretty much, I think I cover mostly everything at the top of the division. So I'll bring it to you. How do you feel about it? I want to know. Ngannou, 9 months recovery from this ACL surgery he's going to have, and you have the contract negotiations. Do you think Dana White, do you think they will come to a deal for a new contract to meet, you know, some in the middle somewhere with better pay for him and, you know, maybe some kind of stipulation to let him go box when he wants to?
Just for a little backstory, the UFC is being sued right now because of the way they do their contracts. So that's why you see that the five-year thing is being talked about, because the UFC restructured all their contracts to 5 years because the way the contracts are being worded, the UFC was actually basically monopolizing the fighters. They weren't allowing the fighters to grow. So they're being sued right now. I think Francis Ngannou holds out probably the whole 10 months. Then his contract could be up. I don't see him fight. You know what? I ain't going to say I don't see him fighting in the UFC again. But I only see him fighting in the UFC as if they allow him to box while being a UFC fighter. And with that being said, like you said, I don't see them doing it. So I think, like I said last week, I think Francis takes the UFC belt to another organization, another organization that's willing to let him be basically an independent contractor. And to be honest, I'm not mad about that. It's like, number one, he wouldn't even want to box if you paid him. I mean, that's just the whole deal. It's like, if you pay them, then guys wouldn't be so disgruntled and unhappy. I heard today on Unlocking the Cage with Jimmy Smith that UFC 269 did 500,000 buys, and basically that was like 35 million, somewhere up to 35. They were saying something about 35 million. It's like, where does the money go at? It ain't going to the fighters. So, but back to the heavyweight division. The heavyweight division, it all depends on what they do with Stipe and John Jones. Because we know Tua Tagovailoa and Derek Lewis are fighting at UFC 271 in the co-main event. So John hasn't fought yet. Cyril Gane just lost. Stipe has been clamoring for our rematch with Ngannou, but we know that's not going to happen. So, do the UFC go with Stipe versus John, Cyril Gane versus John, Stipe versus Cyril Gane? How do they work it out? Do you really want to have an interim champion for 9 or 10 months and you still don't know what your real champion is going to do. So the UFC got a lot of stuff to figure out. But I'm with you. Those are the six guys, even though Gane just lost. It's only his first loss in the UFC, so he lost to the champion. So that loss does mean something. You know, you lost to the best. So just got to see what they're going to do, how they're going to do the booking, how they're going to do the matchmaking. Are they going to do an interim champ? Or, you know, we just don't know. So, but hell, Aljamain Sterling been a champ, and he hasn't fought, what, about a year and a half? Maybe a year, something like that? So, we don't know, man. Plus, it's bad blood between the UFC and Ngannou. You know, man, I want to see John fight a heavyweight. Do I want to see him come out the gate, out the rip, and fight Stipe? I would rather him get one fight under his belt, you know, before you fight the GOAT of heavyweights. But I don't think we're going to have a choice, man. So we'll see how the UFC books it and what they do.
Yeah, so, I mean, while you were talking, you know, you brought that up. So, and I'm not going to go into that, you know, about Aljamain Sterling right now. But, you know, that fight was in March 2021. So, you know, he's held on to the belt while injured. And, you know, of course, they made an interim title. You know, that's been like 10 months, going on 11 months. And I don't even know if they had the rematch booked, but I don't know if it's booked. I know it got moved. I don't know if it's officially booked at this point. But, yeah, I mean, we've seen that happen with other guys. You know, Daniel Cormier had held the belt for like a year and a half, I'm pretty sure, the light heavyweight belt at one point. And they literally had us wait all that time for him to, like, fight Rumble Johnson the second time. That was a really long wait, I remember. But I know he had injuries. So they like to, you know, there's all these stipulations they like to throw in there and say, oh, well, you know, this happened and then this, and then they couldn't do this. And so there's always this, like, what ifs and, you know, all these, oh, but this, you know, this happened, so we couldn't, you know, it seems like it changes every time you have a champion. You know, it's just they treat every champion differently. Like, Ngannou, you know, he literally couldn't fight the next day after he beat Stipe in the rematch. And, you know, they were already making an interim belt, which is literally ridiculous. I mean, I don't know if January, like, if I would say if January was the earliest that he could fight, you know, and, you know, he wins the belt March, April. And then if he had said that to them, that January is the earliest that I can fight, and that's why we end up, you know, seeing him fight this past weekend after all that time, then honestly, I agree with the interim title. I agree, because that's a long time to just sit on a belt. 9-10 months, a long time for anybody. So, in my opinion. But if he was like, oh, we can, you know, I just got done, I just won the belt, you know, we can do it in, like, you know, September, October. If that's what they originally said, and the UFC went and made an interim title, that's ridiculous. I don't agree with, because you're having a guy literally tell you he could fight in 6 months. I don't really think that's asking for that much. I mean, you literally, especially in Ngannou, you had him fight. I'm pretty sure he fought 3, if not 4 guys to get back to that title fight. Like, he put in a lot of work to get back to that rematch, and then he wins the rematch. And then it's like, you know, if he told them, I can do it in 6 months, let's do it in September, October. And they were like, nope, we're going to make an interim title for August, which is literally 2 months before that he would have been ready. Then, dude, that's crazy. But if he had come out and said January from the beginning, then I would agree with the UFC, because that's a long time. You're talking almost a year that you want them to just kind of hold your belt and not do anything with the division. So, I mean, a lot of people like to reference, oh, well, you know, a friend of mine said to me, you know, I sent him the article, and he said to me, oh, well, you know, McGregor went over and boxed Mayweather. Okay, well, I don't really think that's the same thing. That's like apples and oranges to me, because you're talking about he went over, that was like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You know, if any one of your fighters gets that kind of opportunity and there's actually hype behind it, and the fans really want to see it, and there's, you know, HBO is coming in and all these sponsors are coming in and all the media is going in on it, and, you know, that fighter, you know, at that time was Floyd Mayweather. He was actually responding to McGregor, and there was, like, TMZ going in. Like, if there's actually hype around it, and, like, it seems like the people really wanted to see it, you know, you don't really have that with this Ngannou going to boxing. Like, you don't really have that. Like, yeah, Fury responded to Ngannou, but you don't really see the hype from the fans. Like, I just don't think it's the same thing. Like, you don't really see media going crazy over that fight. Like, I don't really think that the people are really behind that fight. I mean, yeah, of course Fury wants it, because I feel like Fury knows that's kind of just an easy fight for him. Like, you know, oh, another boxing guy fighting an MMA guy. Like, you know, it's, we already seen this story so many times at this point, and I just, of course he wants to fight. You know, he knows that's an easy payday. And, of course, Ngannou wants to fight. He knows that would be the biggest payday of his life. But I don't think letting him – I don't think that's a valid comparison to make, you know, that McGregor going. And also he and the difference of that, to me, another thing is that not only was that such a big fight and the people were behind it and literally everybody was behind it and wanted to see it, but it was one time. Like, he wasn't saying that he wanted to continuously go to boxing. Like, he literally went and boxed 5 years ago and hasn't been back to boxing since. And that was like a one-off thing, as where Ngannou is saying that, to my understanding, is saying that he wants to be able to just go to boxing whenever he wants. Like, he wants to just almost, to me, operate like a free agent. It sounds like he just wants to have a contract where he can just, he has no, like, bounds to the UFC, and he can just bounce back and forth, go do a boxing fight, and then, you know, 4 months later, go do a UFC fight, and then go back, go to a, like, when has that ever been a thing? I've just never seen that happen. You know, as far as fighter pay, you know, I completely agree. I want to see guys get paid more. You know, if paying guys more is what keeps Ngannou in the UFC, I'd love to see it. But it's just, you know, that's an issue that I just don't know is winnable, you know, for him or for any of these guys. You know, the UFC, I would love to see it, but I just, you know, how long do we sit and talk about fighter pay and how much of nothing, you know, ever gets done about it?
Well, I kind of disagree with you about Ngannou versus Fury. I think that could be a big fight. Actually, I was listening to Inside the Ropes, I want to say it was, on Sirius XM on Monday, and they were talking about Ngannou. They were saying that Ngannou and Fury won't be as big as McGregor and Conor, but it will be a big fight because of the crossover appeal. And I kind of, so I agree with that, especially with both of them being champions. Just like I want to say, at the time, both Conor McGregor was a champion and Floyd was a champion. I think it would have lost some luster to the fight if Ngannou had lost. But being that he's won, he's still considered the best heavyweight in the UFC. So would I want to see it? Probably not. But, hey, Ngannou wants to test himself inside the boxing ring. I'm quite sure if he was in line with anybody outside of the UFC, they would allow him to do it as long as he fulfilled his obligation to that organization. So, and he has said, even if he does do boxing, he will still honor his UFC contract at the same time. So, I just think it's a slippery slope when you start doing this. Because basically what will happen is even guys that aren't boxers, they'll probably want to get into the celebrity thing and all this and all that. So I think the UFC is in a quandary. But they're in a quandary because it's their champion. I will probably put it in his deal where he could do, you know, up to 2 boxing matches, maybe 3 in his 5-year deal, you know, no more than 3 boxing fights, and probably the UFC, if need be, have them promote the fight. Like Dana White helped promote the Conor McGregor Floyd fight. So the UFC did, well, Dana did make some money off of it. So, but do I see it being a competitive fight with him and Fury? No. I just think these UFC guys, they just don't understand that UFC striking and boxing is just 2 different things. And they don't realize how much energy they expend in a boxing fight. So, it's a slippery slope once again, but I don't think Ngannou is going to re-sign with the UFC. I think it's too much bad blood between both parties. I think he goes to Bellator, and Bellator allows him to do what he wants to do as an independent contractor. So, it is what it is.
Yeah, I'm just confused as to, like, where have you ever seen that done before? Like, what makes you think that Bellator would allow him to just bounce back and forth like that?
I think because they'll be signing the UFC heavyweight champion, and they will want to appease him in every way possible to get him to join their organization. How many organizations can say they have the current reigning undisputed champion come sign with them at another spot? It'll be the first time in history.
Yeah, I suppose that is true. I mean, at that level, I mean, you do see champions sign with smaller organizations that come up to the UFC. They leave as the champion in their organization, they get signed to the UFC or signed to Bellator. But as far as at that level, you know, Ngannou is a big name in MMA. So for, you know, at that level, I don't believe I've seen that done. But at the same time, yeah, I mean, I guess it would have to happen. I guess we would have to just see who would be willing to do that. You know, it just sounds so out there to me to go back and forth between boxing and MMA back and forth. I mean, Bellator is more lenient. I mean, they do do cross events with Ryzen, and
yep.
You know, they had one of their guys go over and fight, you know, the Ryzen champion, and then the Ryzen champion came over, and, you know, they had a home game. He came over, and I think it was Darian Caldwell. He came over and fought Darian Caldwell at Bellator. So they did that, and then they did, like, I don't know, they did that in a couple different ways. Like, Bellator has done things like that where it shows leniency. But I don't know of times they've, like, Bellator has sent any of their fighters over to boxing. I just haven't seen that happen. But then again, they also don't really have – I mean, they do have MVP who came from boxing. I know he still – I think he does still box. Like, now – he does – I think MVP might still box. You don't really hear about it, but I don't know, like, at what level he boxes, like, where he is in the boxing. I think MVP still boxes, though. So that one I would have to look into deeper. I'm not sure, but I want to say MVP does still box at some stage. But yeah, I guess we would just have to see. I mean, regardless of it, I mean, let's say this. So we don't know if they would let him switch between boxing and MMA. We'll have to just see. Maybe he doesn't resign. I mean, It seems like they're going to have to let him do both. I mean, with the way Ngannou and his team are, you know, going at it, it seems like they want both. They want, you know, better pay, but they also want to be able to go box. because he said that, you know, Ngannou said that that's something he's always wanted to do since he was.
Huh?
Yeah, that was something that he always wanted to do since he was a little kid, you know, and when he came into the, once he came into the fighting world, he knew that he wanted to box at some point in his career. So, I mean, you also, you know, you made the point of maybe he wouldn't want to go over to boxing in the first place if he was getting paid better in the UFC. I mean, that is an interesting point. You know, I just wonder what his number would be. What would he like? I support guys getting paid more. Like I've said that many times. I'm not trying to seem like I'm just siding with the UFC on everything. I believe all these guys should get paid more. I'm pretty sure there was some fighters on this weekend's card that got paid. They literally got paid nothing. Like I heard some wild figures from this weekend's card, really low numbers that I was disgusted to even hear about that some of these fighters got paid, you know, some of the undercard fighters got paid. And yeah, I mean, I'm with them, you know, coming together and going for better pay. But I just wonder what would it take for him to stay, I guess is what I'm asking. I would just wonder what it would take for him to stay. What if the UFC would say, okay, well, you know, you're a big star. You're one of the biggest attractions at heavyweight, you know, that we've had in a while. And, you know, we want to pay you, you know, we want to pay you, I don't know, a million base pay, and then, you know, another 500,000 or 600,000 win bonus. I wonder if he would stay then, or if he, because when you're, when this, the thing that kind of where I get lost is like people making comparisons to like Tyson Fury, you know, having made apparently $30 million, you know, in his last fight. And it's like, okay, well, I mean, do you guys really think that the UFC is going to stop paying guys like prices like that? Like, that to me just seems a little far-fetched, you know? I mean, we love to make these comparisons, but are these comparisons actually warranted? Like, is that really realistic for the UFC? I mean, the UFC, remember, even as much, you know, revenue as they generate, they're still, boxing has been around since like the beginning of time. UFC is a baby compared to boxing. UFC is an infant compared to boxing. So do you think that kind of figure in the UFC is realistic?
Nah, UFC fighters will never get paid what boxers get paid. I don't know why they will never get paid what boxers get paid, but it's funny how boxing rakes in money. And it has a dwindling fan base. People would definitely show up for the big fights, but as far as like this weekend, they had Gary Russell Jr. versus Magasso for Gary Russell's belt, and Gary Russell's been a champion for like 4 years or something, but he only done fought like 3 times in 4 years. What kind of sense that made? But it's crazy how these, I don't know how boxing does it, how they generate so much revenue for their fighters, especially with a dwindling fan base, but somehow they figure it out. I mean, we knew that Conor McGregor was going to make $100 million when he fought Floyd Mayweather. And we knew Floyd was going to make over $100 million. I just don't know, man. But I think if the UFC did $1 million for Ngannou and $500,000 fight bonus, I think he would have signed his contract a long time ago. I just think the UFC doesn't want to pay. They just don't want to. They don't want to make a precedence of paying somebody $1 million. But you are a multi-billion dollar company. You can't keep all the money yourself. Everybody ain't going to make $1 million. So it ain't like everybody that's stepping out the guy you're going to give $1 million to. I'm not paying Bobby Green $1 million to fight. Although I like Bobby Green, I wouldn't pay him $1 million to fight. So I think if they did $1 million plus that $500,000, like you said, I think Ngannou was fine. I think John Jones will sign a new trade. They offer him the same thing. I think Henry Cejudo will come back. I think you'll have a lot of guys that complain about pay if they offer them $1 million and a kind of sort of respectable bonus. I think all of them will be back, and I don't think you will hear complaints. And we always, on this show, we always said champions should make $1 million a fight. They the face of your organization. They the ones do the media trips. They the ones that's on Good Morning America, on ESPN. So they promoting your sport as your champion. So they should make $1 million a fight.
I don't think there's anything wrong with, you know, a guy like Bobby Green, you know, making at least $100,000 to fight. That's how I feel. I mean, he's literally puts on great fights all the time, and he's also, I'm pretty sure, in the rankings now at, I don't remember what division. Yeah, he's in 155. I believe he's either in the rankings or he's on the cusp of being ranked. And, yeah, a guy like, when you get, like, I really don't think you pay a guy like that less than $100,000. I really don't think you do that. I mean, I'm looking at the payout right now. You know, Mitchell Pereira made $100,000 to show, $50,000 win bonus, so he made $150,000. Andre Cialho, that he fought, see, this is the part where, like, this is, like, criminally underpaid stuff. $12,000
wow.
Cialho, like, that's crazy, man. That's absolutely crazy. $12,000, man.
Wow.
You have him in basically one of your featured fights, and he made $12,000. That's pretty gross. Cody Stammen making $65,000. That's, I mean, I guess it's not terrible, but I would like to see him make a little bit more. This guy, Michael Morales, made 20 to show, $10,000 win bonus. That's terrible. Trevin Giles, I've seen him fight many times. He's making $45,000. That's pretty bad. Victor Henry, 40 to show, 20 to win. That's okay, I guess. Barcelos, I've seen him fight many times. He's making $29,000. That's terrible. This guy, Madalena, 20 to show, $10,000 win. Terrible. Pete Rodriguez, $12,000. Terrible.
Wow.
This Gravely guy made 44 to show, 22 win. Okay, that's not too bad. It's more up to where I think. See, but that's what I'm saying. Like, you're saying this Tony Gravely is making, you know, $66,000, but Bobby Green can't get $100,000 to show. Like, I don't know, never even heard of this guy, Tony Gravely, before. And he's making $66,000, but my boy Bobby Green can't make $100,000? What? Like, come on. This is the part where shit gets weird, because I don't even know who that is. And Bobby Green just knocked out Iaquinta in the very first round.
What we doing here,
UFC. Come on. You're crazy for that.
It gets worse.
Look at this. Simone Oliveira gets paid $10,000. No win bonus. And then this one. Gennaro Valdez, another one. $10,000. No win bonus. That's crazy. Matt Frevola, I've seen him fight a good handful of times. He made 46 to show, 23,000 win bonus. That's not terrible. You know, he's okay, getting a little bit better. This one, Vanessa Demopoulos. I want to say she was, that was a UFC debut. 24 to show, 12K win bonus. Oh, that's all right. That should be better, but okay. Silvana Juarez, 12,000. Nope, no win bonus. Terrible. Jasmine Jesuda Vicious. 20 to show, 10,000 win bonus. That's pretty bad. Like, Kay Hansen, 17,000. Like, no win bonus. Like, there should be no pay that's that low. Like, nobody should be – if you're a UFC fighter, right, and you just come in, like, we're talking about, like, champions making $1 million. Like, I think that's a fact. But, like, also, there should be a minimum – there should be a minimum base pay. Like, if you're at the UFC level, you should not be making these five-figure – like, you should not be making these low five-figure salaries. Like, you should be – I think if you're coming in, you should be making at least 40 grand a show, at least. And I might even say 50K. If you're coming in your first fight,
I'm good with 50.
If you're coming in your first fight, even if we don't even know who you are, it doesn't matter. You're still fighting in the biggest. Like, when people think of MMA in the States, they think of UFC. People do. A lot of people in general think of the UFC. So the thing is this: you're fighting at the highest, you know, pretty much the highest level. Now, I'm not saying, oh, all the best fighters in the UFC. I'm just saying you're fighting for a massive operation at this point. You're fighting at the top of the mountain, pretty much, of MMA. And you, like you said, multi-billion dollars. Like, back in 2016, 2017, they were bought for $4.2 billion. What are they worth today? 5 years has passed. Look at all the big fights they put on. They did the ESPN deal. They're getting they've been upping the pay-per-view charge. You know, I feel like the pay-per-views go up about $5 once a year now. The pay-per-views, you know, keep getting more expensive. What, like, they're probably – I'd like to see the valuation now. Like, I would like to see that. I wouldn't doubt that they're worth, you know, at least $1 or $2 billion more than they were 5 years ago. I really wouldn't doubt that, because I feel like since that point, the UFC has grown a lot more. Like, you're talking at that time when it really has. Like, and maybe even $3 billion more they might be worth. And I don't really think that's a reach, to be honest. I know $1 billion is a lot more than $1 million. I understand that. But you also have to look at how much money they're generating. It's a lot of money. Like, you just pointed out the $500,000. Like, okay, 500,000 pay-per-views, UFC 269. Okay, boom, times $70, I think, per pay-per-view. All right, fine. That's $35 million. $35 million. $35 million in revenue just off the pay-per-view buys. And that's not including the live gate. We're not even getting to the live gate. That's another massive amount of money right there. And they're selling out arenas all the time. We know that. And we know that when they came back from the pandemic, how much money they made. The UFC was the only sport in the world that was even running at one point.
Yep.
They were the only sport that was on for a period of time. So how much money did they generate? I know they didn't have fans for a period, but I'm saying they still had the viewership. You know what I'm saying? They were still selling pay-per-views. They just didn't have a live gate. They were still able to sell pay-per-views. And so that was the only thing people could watch. And they did good numbers during that time. They put on massive shows during that time. You know, they had that one, the three title fights with Usman and Masvidal on the card. They said that one sold like a million, maybe a little over a million pay-per-views. And I want to say that one was with no fans. So
they made tons of money
during this time.
Yeah. They might not have made no live gates, but they definitely made money on the pay-per-views. Because what else were people doing? It ain't like people was going out. So people was watching fights at home. So, I mean, but I know we really didn't want to jump into the fight or pay thing. But, you know, man, it's just a you just hate to see somebody like Francis Ngannou leave. Possibly lead the UFC with a championship belt to go somewhere else because of money issue and the boxing thing. I think that they could both negotiate that, you know, and negotiate it in good faith. But, man, where have we known the UFC to do anything in good faith? And that's just the problem with them. So that's why they're being taken to court right now. So, but, hey, it's just sad, man. It's just sad. Your number one asset is your fighters. They are your number one asset. Without your fighters, you don't have a business.
Exactly. I mean, they would not, like, you know, everyone loves to talk about, you know, these guys that he's like, oh, you know, Kobe Covington, you know, he acts like this, and you know, he's at the White House with Donald Trump, or you know, Masvidal said he's going to break Usman's jaw, and it's like, oh, well, you know, McGregor's, you know, there's many things you could say for McGregor. You know, McGregor's, you know, talking about, you know, Poirier's wife, which, you know, I don't condone that, but, and there's many things that I don't condone, but I'm just saying that overall, the UFC has a lot of guys. You know, Nate Diaz is out here talking about, you know, he's talking trash to Dustin Poirier, you know, the past couple of years on social media. You know, they're going back and forth doing that thing. And there's a lot of guys that, you know, they make these fights so much bigger than they would be for the UFC. Like, the UFC is not making that happen for them. Like, these guys are just doing that on their own. Like, you know, yeah, they might have their managers and, you know, people that are kind of, you know, backing them. You have, you know, Ali Abdelaziz, who's, you know, out there, you know, putting out tweets, you know, arguing with he's got his own fighters arguing with each other on Twitter, and it literally seems like he's typing out both sides of the tweet, which is kind of weird. But it's, for the most part, it's the fighters that are making these storylines, that are making people intrigued in these fights. It's not the UFC. Like, they're just picking up on what the fighters are already laying the foundation for. You know, Kobe Covington pretty much sold that entire Usman rematch. Like, let's keep it 1,000. Like, Usman didn't really do anything to sell that fight. I mean, Covington, yeah, I understand people think, you know, yeah, he's, you know, they think he's embarrassing, or, you know, they don't like his trash talk. It's like, okay, cool, but guess what? You watched the fight. You watched it. Like, you wanted to see the fight, and you wanted to see it because of that. You wanted to see it because he sold you the fight. Usman didn't really do much to sell the fight. I'm a fan of Usman. I'm just trying to keep it real. Like, there's different sides of things. Like, Usman, like, different fighters show you different things, but it's not the UFC that is doing that for these guys. These guys are making these fights bigger. Like, there's a reason why Masvidal and Covington is going to be a pay-per-view main event. They built that fight up so it could be a pay-per-view main event with no title. There's no title the line for that. Those guys
made that
happen.
And if you look at it, Dustin and Nate are going to make this fight what it is, because both of them have such large fan followings. And it's like, it's crazy now that the fighters are actually the promoters now. The fighters are the ones promoting these fights now. And they the ones that's actually making these fights by going to social media, by, you know, doing interviews and stuff like that. Do I really want to see Poirier versus Diaz? No. But would I watch it? Yes. Because of all the intrigue and trash talk leading up, I think it'll be a spectacle. You know, Kobe and Jorge, you know, this has been, what, 2 years in the making that they've been talking trash to each other. And basically, they have basically hyped this fight up themselves without the UFC. Only thing the UFC had to do was make the fight. And some of these fights that these fighters want, Dana White don't even like the fights, and the fans are like, yo, let's see it. So, because like he said, like he was saying about Nate versus Dustin, he was like, that fight don't even make sense. He was like, that fight don't make sense. But it's going to be a draw. People want to see it. Especially with Dustin just losing a title fight. So if he want to fight Nate Diaz, let him fight Nate Diaz, man.
Yeah, so and look, I know, you know, we got off on the topic, but and I think it's so good. You know, I think a lot of the stuff needs to be said, and it's really true. Like, it's these guys make these storylines, you know what I'm saying? Like, you have a star, like, in Derek Lewis because he made himself a star. Like, Derek Lewis put himself in the position that he's in. You know what I mean? And I give him a lot of respect for that. You know, I know, here and there, I tend to hate on his fighting style, but it's more because I want to see more from him, not because I want to see him lose. It's that I want to see him try to improve himself. And when I see him saying, like, you know, he's eating Taco Bell, like, the day before the fight and stuff, like, that's just kind of, it's disappointing to me because I think he could be even a lot better than he is. But I just, I hate on Derek Lewis sometimes because I feel like he doesn't do his best for himself sometimes. Yeah, I feel like he don't really put in the effort to get himself where he could be. I think he could be even that much better than he is. And sometimes I'd be feeling like he don't really want to get to that next level. So that's really, but it's all love though. Derek Lewis got himself to that point. You know, the things that he has said on the microphone, his post-fight interviews are basically famous at this point. People are like, man, what's that guy going to say after the fight? The UFC didn't tell him to say that shit. You know, Derek Lewis knocked out Volkov and then got on the mic and said, yeah, I was on the phone with Trump. And Trump told me I got to go in there and knock this Russian out. And he said, like, go America or something like that. What did he say? He said something like that. He was like, go USA. Trump said I got to knock this Russian out to get at Putin or something like that. He said something. I don't know.
Yeah, it was something like that. Yeah.
He said something. It was like,
you right on point. Yeah, it's right there. It's on those same lines.
Yeah, he was like, you know, Trump said he was beefing with Putin. He's like, so I got to go in there and knock this Russian out for the culture. So, but it's the UFC didn't create that moment. Like, they can market that moment, but it was already a big moment. Like, the whole crowd already saw that, and people already recorded that, and we're in this digital age. Like, that clip gets across whether the UFC pushes it or not. The UFC can push it and make it even bigger, but the moment already happened, and you wouldn't have the moment without Derek Lewis just being who he is. You know what I'm saying? The UFC don't create these moments. Like, the fighters, even if they're, it's a character and you don't believe it, like, at the end of the day, the UFC got to put respect on the work these guys put in besides what they do in the cage. Because a lot of that is what is making these fights so big.
Yep. Yeah, man. I mean, like, people can say what they want, but Conor McGregor sold that Floyd fight, what, I want to say right after he beat Aldo. He said something about, yeah, I'm coming to Floyd Mayweather, you next, or something like that. And everybody was like, man, get the fuck out of here. And then at the presser, at the post-fight presser, said it again, and then he went on Twitter calling Floyd out. So, yeah, man, a lot of these fighters, they do all the hard work promoting these fights. I mean, the UFC just ride the coattails, really. But, you know, if you're a fighter, you want more eyes on your fights. You know, you want people to buy the pay-per-view, people to come out and watch, you know, generate interest. So, but at the same time, like last weekend's card, the UFC didn't even promote that. You know, they really didn't even market that fight. It's shows like ours that was like, or our Twitter feed that's like, hey, we got a UFC pay-per-view coming on this weekend. You know, people are like, oh, man, damn, I forgot. I didn't even know that was this weekend. So, you know, It's that cost of doing business, but sometimes you need the machine behind you too. The fighter shouldn't be solely responsible Sometimes you need the machine behind you as well.
No, I agree. You need a little bit of both at least. And I'm gonna say this too. On that front, I think the UFC, shout out to Chael Sonnen, because first of all, I just wanna say this, man, and if he happens to hear this, that's incredible. But yo, when I'm making my breakfast in the morning nowadays, like, I always start my day with Chael Sonnen's YouTube channel and Michael Bisping's YouTube channel. I kind of just, like, switch off. It depends on the day. But, like, both of them put out so much content, bro. Like, if you're ever looking for something to watch and, like, you want to hear them talk about fights, like, Bisping always puts out, like, any topic that you see something about, like, Bisping probably has a video about it, or Chael Sonnen probably has a video about it. And they both got a lot of interesting takes on stuff. You know, I really like Chael, you know, and I think that, you know, props to both of them, you know, and I think that the UFC should be cutting Chael a check for how much he promoted UFC 270. I would say that he promoted, I honestly feel like Chael Sonnen promoted Ngannou versus Cyril Gane more than the UFC.
More than
did.
The UFC.
Like, yep. A lot more. And if you really look at it, he gets a good amount of views on his channel. So if you really go through it, he did probably 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 videos, probably more than that he did, just about that fight. And if he gets a good amount of views per video, you want to go through and count up all the views, count up all the comments, count up all the shares, count up all the retweets, like count up, you know, all the, you know, podcasts like mine and yours and mine that are talking about his videos. And look at how much him talking about those fights on his channel, how much that amounts to for promotion overall. I would say it's probably way more than the UFC promoted that fight, which is honestly kind of sad. One guy, I would say, promoted that fight more than the entire organization did. That's very sad, because it's just a YouTube channel. You know, that's a very small budget compared to what the UFC has for a budget to be able to promote that fight. So that's shame on them for not promoting that fight the way they should have, because that was a monster fight, and that's just terrible.
Yeah. And it was two title fights on that card, not just one.
and that brings me to the next thing. So this is the thing that, you know, we talked enough about the heavyweights. You know, I could ask you who you think's going to fight, you know, for the vacant belt or something like this, but we don't even know what's going to happen. You know, Francis Ngannou is the heavyweight champion of the world, so it is what it is. We kind of got to wait and just see, you know, what plays out, you know, in the next couple of months that we might not really see. I mean, you're going to have Derek Lewis fight tied to Avaza. I think that's like in a couple of weeks, so that will, you know, tell a little bit about the division. John Jones and Stipe are kind of John Jones and Stipe are kind of just like lurking in the shadows right now. Maybe those two guys will fight each other. So we'll have to see what happens in the next couple months with heavyweight and see, you know, which fights get made, because there are fights to be made, and you can kind of sort out, you know, these guys a little bit in the meantime while we're, you know, Ngannou's, you know, having his surgery and going through the recovery. And they can maybe get him, you know, a $1 million contract, which I don't really think should be hard for them to do, honestly. You know, I don't think that's a far shot for a Francis Ngannou to pay him $1 million base pay. I really don't think that's asking that much. But either way, what I wanted to ask you is, we're in a weird spot. You know, I was thinking about this earlier today. You have Brandon Moreno and Davison Figueiredo, right? So the first fight, I mean, we both felt like Moreno beat Figueiredo, right? I think you had Moreno winning the first fight.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I see a lot of people out there that I guess it's more debatable than I thought it was that first fight, but I mean, I had Moreno winning 4 out of 5 rounds, so I don't really know. I mean, maybe it's the difference of, you know, my prediction is just one round difference with someone else, but I had Moreno winning the first fight. They called it a draw. Then they did a rematch. Moreno pretty much dominated. So there were, you know, Moreno's up 1-0, but there's a draw. So it's like kind of like 1-0-1. And then now Figueiredo just won. So now that basically tied 1-1, but it's also a draw. So they've had, instead of someone being up 2-1, it's 1-1-1 across the board. Because you have Moreno got one, Fig Newton got one, and they had a draw. So now Moreno's talking about he wants the fourth fight. He wants to do a fourth fight. And, I mean, I guess it's weird because, like, really the fourth fight would really be the tiebreaker because they're 1-1 and they have a draw. So the tiebreaker really hasn't been declared yet. You really, it's now tied, as where usually in two fights you would tie it up after two fights and then your trilogy fight would be the tiebreaker. But now after our trilogy fight, because we had a draw, it's actually 1-1. So now we still kind of are looking for the tiebreaker, but do we need to see that fight? What do you think?
Man, I'm so against this fourth fight. I think somebody else should get a shot. Man, it's like, this is like the ultimate holding pattern. You done had two guys fight four times for the championship with nobody else in between getting the opportunity. So it's like, what are the other flyweights supposed to think? They're like, guess we got to wait again. I guess we got to wait again. I guess we got to wait again. So, but the way it is right now and the way it's set up, you don't have no other choice but to have them fight again because of that draw. If you didn't have a draw, somebody would be up, and it'd be a done deal. But since we got that draw, you know, they got to make a four fight. Now, maybe I may have been watching the fight with a little bit of bias, but I thought Moreno won the fight. But when I started reading the people's comments on Twitter, they was like, how can he win the fight when he got dropped three times in one fight? I know one of the times when he got dropped, he was just all off balance when he got hit. So I really didn't count that as like him getting dropped. But he did get dropped like two more times. But he held his own. And some of those rounds that he got dropped, I thought he actually came back and won the round. But, you know, the judges saw it a different way.
Yeah, so it's, you know, I guess there's a lot more debate out there about that fight than I really thought. I mean, there's a lot more debate about the first fight than I really thought. The third fight, I obviously didn't see that, so I can't speak on that. But I'm sure there's a lot of debate about that. There's a lot of debate out there about that too. Wow, that was a crazy tongue twister. I'm sure there's a lot of debate out there about that fight too. Haven't seen the fight, but you know, when I do see it, you know, maybe I'll run it back once they put UFC 270 up on ESPN Plus. I'll go in and watch that fight, and then we can debate the rounds there on the timeline. You know, whenever they do that, you know, a month or 2 months, whenever that is, I'll go in and watch that, and probably watch the Ngannou and Gane fight too, because those are two fights I really wanted to see. I couldn't get to him because I had a family party that night, and it wasn't doable. But yeah, you know, we'll see what happens with, you know, the Ngannou situation, and you know, maybe in the next week or two, maybe there'll be some rumblings about what might happen, if there'll be a fourth fight, or if they're gonna have Figueiredo move on and fight one of these contenders here, maybe Askarov if he wins his next fight. And yeah, then we'll go from there. But either way, you know, this was a great show. I feel like we got to a ton of different material, and I'm very happy with that. Thank you to everybody who listens to our show. And have a good rest of your week. Lee, the floor is yours, bro.
Yeah, man, everybody have a good week, man. Take care of yourselves. I know we're supposed to get some snow overnight, so I'm out here charging my battery for my snowblower, getting ready for tomorrow. Do we have a card this weekend? I don't even know whether or not we got a card this weekend. So, but everybody take care of yourselves. Still practice social distance. COVID is still out there. And as always, end of the show, we always say peace. Peace.